What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
I think it goes back to the confidence thing. Like, I think if you have to believe in yourself and you have to trust that you will accomplish what you set out to accomplish, if you don't believe in yourself, then you're not going to be successful.
Welcome to the Budget-Minded Traveler Podcast, your source for the tips and tactics that will inspire and equip you to travel the world. And the best part? It won't break your bank. And now, the Budget-Minded Traveler herself and your host, Jackie LaLanen.
Hey everyone, we are on episode 52 of the Budget-Minded Traveler Podcast, and we are continuing in our series of long-term travel. And today's subject is a bit of a twist on long-term travel, as we're going to be talking about moving overseas, not to travel constantly, but actually to just move to one place and what that looks like and what's involved in the planning of that. So our guests today are Aaron and Aaron. Yes, they have the same name. It's the same spelling too. From survivingeurope.com, which is the blog that they started to tell their story. And somewhere in the interview, you're going to hear me talking about their Instagram account, because that's actually how I stumbled upon these guys. I found them, their account, while they were posting one photo a day in what they refer to as their 3-month countdown, which completely caught my attention. And of course, then I stalked their website, and it turns out that they are two Aarons, same name, in their late 20s, recently married, had great jobs, and made the decision to move to Austria. And so I was following their daily posts, which, by the way, some of them are hilarious. And what I loved about them was that they posted the real things, the things that they were doing each day to prepare for this huge life change. And that's really what got me interested in interviewing them during this series, to talk about their experience. And they did just recently complete their move to Austria, which is awesome. And now they're here, coming all the way from Austria, to tell us all about it. So here we go with the Aarons from Surviving Europe. All right, Aaron and Aaron, how are you guys doing today?
Great. How are you?
I am so good. Thank you for asking. I have so many questions for you guys, but first, I think the most obvious is going to be I just have to ask about your names, Aaron and Aaron. So you guys are married, right?
Yeah, we got married in October.
Almost and a year. Last year?
Yeah.
So you're coming up on a year. Congratulations.
Why, thank you.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourselves first before I start with my so many questions for you guys about your recent move to Europe. Just tell us who you are and where you come from, because we want to get to know Aaron and Aaron a little bit better.
No problem. So I'm actually from Connecticut, and Aaron is from New Jersey.
Oh, yeah. South Jersey.
South Jersey. And we met at the University of Delaware when we were going to school there.
Yeah, our sophomore year.
Yes, our sophomore year. And after that, it was pretty much immediate. We stayed together for 8 years and then just got married last year. We actually started our working lives in D.C. So we're in D.C. for about 5 years before we decided to make the move and go on this crazy adventure to Austria.
Yeah.
That is so awesome. What did you guys study? I'm trying to figure out, where did this come from? Like, where does that part, the travel part, play in?
It's actually a perfect match. I used to travel to Austria growing up because my father's from Austria. He's from Salzburg. So that was, you know, my growing up, we could pick either Disney World or Austria, and somehow picking Austria.
And good for you.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And so it was really just between the travel on my side, and Aaron moved around a lot growing up as well. I think we both had a travel bug that was kind of inside of us, but I think between the mix of our majors, which is a good thing that you brought that up, it really helped us springboard into what we're doing now. I went to school for organizational leadership, so it's kind of just how to get things done.
Awesome.
So it was really a creative approach on how to motivate people and how to make sure, you know, at least in organizations, oil was, you know, always flowing, and it was always, at least the engine was always running. So that's pretty much what I went to school for, and Aaron went to school for hospitality. So the mix between the two, I think, really, you know, made us that really strong at building the site.
Yeah, so I majored in hotel restaurant management, and throughout college, I studied abroad, both in Argentina and in Mexico. Mm-hmm. So I kind of learned what it was like to live in another country. It was only really for a month at a time, but it just sparked my interest in other cultures. And I think that's the best part of traveling, is adapting to new cultures and learning like how other people do things.
Absolutely.
And that's kind of what made us want to move to another country.
That is so great. I love it. So actually, Salzburg was kind of a smart choice for you. And I don't want to say easy, but kind of an easy choice as well, right?
Yeah, it was, you know, I have some family here. It's not, you know, I'm not very close with them because I don't know them very well. But I was familiar with the area. It's a perfect location because it's in the middle of Europe. You can get anywhere from here. Mm-hmm. So it was, you know, we looked at a couple other places, but really it kept coming back to Austria with just the slower lifestyle and the mm-hmm. friendly people. It's very neutral. We didn't have to worry about it, you know, watching the news every day. So it's a pretty safe place. Everyone's very happy here. And that's really why we picked it. It's just so picturesque, and everything about it is just beautiful.
Yeah, it looks like a fairy tale.
No, I am in love with Austria, which is also why I'm excited to be following your Instagram, because the first time that I went to Austria, I've been there a few times now, but it blew me away, completely blew me away. And I've been to Salzburg a couple of times too. Have you guys done the Sound of Music tour yet?
Yes and yes.
Yes.
It was the first time ever coming. Like, I used to come here all the time. We never did it. And this is the first time Aaron's sister came to visit as we were just moving. And so we had to hit the tour.
It was the best
thing ever.
Yes, it's so awesome. Did you guys sing on the bus?
Absolutely. at the top of our lungs.
Yeah.
So I guess totally. You took the original Sound of Music tour.
Yeah. It's, you know what? You got to do it though. It's so fun, right? And my point was, the bus takes you, you know, outside of Salzburg, which that's like, I mean, well, I saw that little lake up there in the mountains near the cathedral, you know, where they got married or whatever.
Right.
And I just like fell in love with that area. That's where I would want to live. But I think you guys picked a great, great spot. I mean, for all the things you said, plus 24/7 eye candy, like, whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we actually live like 15 minutes or so outside of Salzburg. So we're like in one of those beautiful little villages. And it's just such a great, it's just, you look outside and you can't not be happy. It's just beautiful everywhere.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
And that lake that you're talking about, that's one of our local lakes. So we just take our scooter over there whenever we want and start working for the lake.
Oh my, what's the lake called again?
Monsey?
Yep.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so when the apartment above you becomes available, you just let me know.
Absolutely.
That sounds awesome. Okay, so let's go back kind of to the beginning of this. And first, I have to start with a huge shout out to Instagram, because I actually found you guys on Instagram. I don't know how I found you, but I was following you, and what I loved about what you did was the countdown. I thought that was so fun and creative, and how, you know, every day You were sharing something you were doing to prepare for this trip. And I mean, it hooked me. Obviously, we're talking now because of what you guys have done on Instagram. So shout out to Instagram for bringing us together.
Thank you.
Yeah. And for all the listeners out there, you guys, if you're not on Instagram yet, get on it. You can find me at Traveling Jackie and these guys at Surviving Europe, and you definitely should follow them. Your personalities come through so much on Instagram. I love it. The picture of you on all those empty bags made me laugh.
I was like, you know what? People don't ever post about this kind of stuff. And this is a good feeling that you have when you're, you know, finally unpacked.
And it's funny is we bought one box and then we kept buying another box and then another box. And then I think we ended up buying four boxes. So it was pretty good to see them finally all
empty. All the Ziplocs.
Empty. Yeah. That's so awesome. So how long did you have in your planning? Like when did you decide that you were going to do this to when you actually left?
We actually, for the first time, I think it was two years ago, I came to Salzburg with Aaron. I had never been here before, but I knew he loved it so much here. And so I was really excited just to see everything I'd been hearing about. And we even came here in March, which wasn't even the most beautiful season. It's kind of still snowing in March. Mm-hmm. But I fell in love with it. Just the people and everything, and the castles that are just in every single direction, the food. So we just kind of had a mutual agreement that we'd make that one of our goals, because we've always wanted this crazy adventure. Mm-hmm. And it was time to just do it. So
yeah, I think we just started talking about it when we were here. Is, you know, because right during that time we were planning our wedding as well. So mm-hmm. And we had a 2-year engagement. So we spent a lot of time crafting and getting things together. We spent a lot of money on things that we thought we were going to be saving money on, but you know how weddings turn out. So it's it was cool just to come here and start saying to people like, "Oh yeah, we're moving here in 2 years." So we were kind of saying it as like a joke, is, you know, we'll move here in 2 years. After we get married, we'll have some time to move here. And then it just kind of made sense to do it. And
no one really believed us.
Yeah, no one really believed us.
Well, you know why though, is because there are a lot of people who talk. A lot of people talk, you know, and not a lot of people act. And that's why what you're doing first is admirable, but also fascinating, because you're actually doing it. I love to, like when I have an idea of where I want to go or something I want to do, I will make a point to say it out loud, to share that with people, because that is an automatic thing that I feel kind of holds me accountable. Well, am I going to stay true to my word? Yeah, let's do this, you know? So good for you guys for actually doing
it. So funny. That was like one of my biggest things throughout this whole process, is the more I said it, the more confident I felt. Mm-hmm. It's just, I don't know, like just by telling people that and kind of seeing the reactions, and it just kind of motivates you to keep going, and it makes you feel like you have to, because now I'm going to tell all these people that we're moving to Austria and then we're just going to totally flake and we're going to be still living in Virginia, you know?
Yeah, and that's, I think, one of our strongest values altogether is just, you know, making sure that we follow through. I think following through is important just normally. That's like mm-hmm. what I went to school for, but I think that's, you know, it's a big section we have on our site as well that we're going to be growing a lot more, is the follow through section of just, you know, how to actually make the first couple steps. And, you know, that's why we're talking now. It's mm-hmm. it's really hard to, you know, make words into actions. And I think that's the most fun, to figure out how to do that.
I have to agree. Well, maybe figuring out how to do that, but actually doing it. It is the most fun. I mean, you have to just do it. There's no possible way that you are going to regret this, you know?
Right.
And so following through is your only option. You have to do it. I love it.
And you know, it's funny, even like you're talking about the Instagram, the countdown that we did, that in a way like kept holding us accountable to what we were doing. Like we had to accomplish something every day, because we had to like follow through and show people we were actually doing it.
Mm-hmm. Totally. So let's talk about some of the steps that you took. Where did that start?
Where did that start? I would say the first thing that was most important to us was just deciding to do it, really, like we were just talking about, you know, moving from that stage of just saying we're going to do it to actually doing it, and that confidence that you need. So when we developed that confidence and we knew we were going to be doing it and we committed to ourselves that we would be doing it, I would say the most important thing that we did first was setting a timeline for it. Because if you don't set a date that you're going to actually make it happen, it keeps getting pushed back. And it's not a good time, you know, for this month. And maybe we'll wait 3 weeks and then it's, you know, 6 months later and it's not possible anymore. So I think that was a really important first step to take, because then you're actually, you can hold yourself accountable to something. Like, we need to be finished because we're leaving on July 16th. Period, you know?
Right, and before we even decided, you know, if Austria was the, you know, the final place that we wanted to go, is we still had that date. And the date, you know, we knew would shift, but at least we had something to work towards, where we knew we got married in October, and then we picked, I think our first date was June.
Yeah, we first said June.
We said June. And then so what we did is we did a break even of how much money we make, and then how much money we make to, or have to pay bills and rent and all that stuff, and how much we have left over, and what we would need to make to move by June. And then we had to adjust a lot.
Well, you only adjusted by a month. I mean, not counting what you...
I mean our finances.
Yes. I was going to say, not counting what you had to change financially, but but you only set it back by a month, which is good, because at least you didn't do that, you know, by a year, which I think is what most people, you know, they'll put it off and it just kind of falls off the radar.
Exactly.
So when did you set that date? Was it in October or November, somewhere in there?
It was probably just before, I would say just before the end of the, like right after we got married, probably in October, we said we would plan to leave in June. And then we knew we couldn't really work towards it until after our wedding was over when I got back from our honeymoon. So from then on, it was just full on, full force, we're moving abroad, we need to make this happen. Mm-hmm. So we gave ourselves, I would say, what would you say, like 8 months or so?
Yeah, about that. Because, I mean, we made a decision to go beforehand. We just couldn't focus on it.
Right.
We knew that, you know, our wedding gifts were going to be, you know, ask everyone for travel, either cash or
give
or
us
travel.
Money.
Yeah, give us money or you know, travel adapters.
Yeah.
And that's how we got our suitcases. So
sweet.
So it was really perfect timing that our wedding ended up right during that time. And, you know, a lot of our stuff we didn't really take action on selling a lot of our belongings or any of that stuff until then. And we didn't launch our site until January.
Okay.
So, you know, we had some time to focus on what we were actually going to do when we were there and what our goals were going to be for how to create some sort of income once we get there.
Before we get to income now, let's go to income before. How did you both have full-time jobs, or how were you going to change that? To, you know, did you have to quit, or what's that look like?
Well, we moved to Washington, D.C. for Erin's job, and it was really just to, she had such a great opportunity to work near a corporate office of where she worked, that she got up very fast and made a name for herself. I ended up falling into a career that I fell in love with. I did not know a company could exist that I'd be in love with in Washington, D.C., because I'm a little bit more scatterbrained and creative.
Nerdy.
Very nerdy.
That's okay. Nerds unite.
Exactly. So I found a very good nerdy love job for me, and we made it very far in our careers where, you know, we were set. We were married. We were, you know, we're late 20s. It was like we made it to the perfect part in our career. We were making enough money where we could just save up for a house and start our lives and our families. But we decided to really take a risk and do something a little bit more different than what a lot of people would do. And quit our perfect lives and sell everything we had and go to Austria. So we did have full-time jobs. What that led us to where we are now. We're both consulting for those jobs. So it really ended up working out. A book I read and really liked a lot was a 4-Hour Work Week, which I'm sure a lot of people read.
Yes, I'll link to it just in case, but that's one of my faves.
It's definitely great. I mean, you know, obviously I'd say my advice for the book is take it with a grain of salt. There's a lot of stuff in there and a mentality that the author has that, you know, a lot of people won't have and can't agree to or relate to. But I think that at least 40% of the book, you know, you can relate to as mm-hmm. just getting things done and learning how to become a linchpin for your, you know, the company you're working for and be in a irreplaceable position where they're going to need you. And it's not, you know, screwing over the company or anything like that you're working for. It's really just making yourself that valuable and being able to continue that when you move. So really, you know, both of us quit thinking that we were going to lose our jobs completely. Like, okay, we're mm-hmm. quitting and we're going to have to figure out how to make surviving Europe work. We're making enough money so we can eat every night. But it ended up working out where we were consulting for them and still running the site. So I don't want to say got lucky because, you mm-hmm. know, luck is when opportunity and preparation meet. Mm-hmm. So it's really those two things uniting. But it's working towards that goal of, you know, doing really well at your career. And then once you get bored of doing that and you want to jump and do something crazy, you can.
Yes.
Yeah, I think we were just both at a really good place in our careers, which is funny because like Aaron was saying, usually that's when you, you know, start to settle, you get a house, you continue working, you have kids and stuff like that. But we saw it as an opportunity, you know, that we made such a great reputation in our companies. Let's give this a shot and just see what happens. And it really worked out to our advantage. But again, that was definitely a result of all of our hard work over, you know, our past 5 years of working in the industries that we were. So I think that, definitely worked out well.
That is so great, though. And I love this example. But hold that thought. Are you consulting as your own businesses now, or are you still employed by them?
No, we are consulting as our own businesses. So okay. I could have stayed employed, but you know, I could have, it's a very long process of trying to figure that out because
yeah.
then anybody would have to sponsor me here. So, I mean, that would have been really easy for me to get a visa because the company would have been working for that. But, you know, we still wanted to be independent and we really were in the mentality of we're just going to quit our jobs and move. That I still wanted to keep that same mentality going where if we, you know, we're putting our heart and soul into surviving Europe and, you know, we're going to start producing a lot of stuff in the next month mm-hmm. and, you know, continuing on from there, that we really wanted to be able to separate ourselves from our jobs if we needed to mm-hmm. And really focus on surviving Europe because that's something that we love to do. And when we start a family, you know, we want to continue doing that as well and not just surviving Europe. We have surviving the planet and we want to do every continent and have this huge, crazy mission of what we want to turn this into so we can continue working together and, you know, bring family along and start adding that because I know there's a lot of people that are traveling with their families and there's a lot of sites out there. I'm showing you how to do that, that, figuring all of that part out is great. And the world is too big to sit in one place for at least people like us.
Yeah. Amen. I love that you have such a vision because I was actually thinking about that specifically, you know, surviving Europe. I was wondering if you had another thing in mind or what happens when Europe is over, you know,
we are surviving every continent.
We bought every website.
Good for you. Good for you. This is brilliant.
There's a huge whiteboard with the whole
life. Oh my gosh. You guys are way too much. I can't believe it. That's amazing. Good for you. It's nice that you can do this together too. I mean, that's pretty vital.
Yeah.
Right. And that's really, I think, a big thing that we want to really keep pushing towards is showing people, you know, it's not taking on Fromers or anything crazy like that. It's really just taking on people that are about to jump out of the plane but can't and need some extra help, or they need to contact someone that is related to them in some way, where if we can get, you know, guest writers or something like that on the site to talk about, you know, what they did. Okay, I was a doctor and, you know, me and my wife and my child, you know, we decided to do something crazy and, you know, do, you know, Doctors Without Borders or something.
Yep.
And there's someone that wants to do that same thing. Now they can go in and tap in and talk to that person, get advice and, you know, build a network of people that are there to help, you know, figure that, you know, give them that little roadmap of these are the things you need to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it's important for us too. Like we really want to be relatable for people. Like we want them to think they can do it because we did it. And that's kind of what we're going for with Surviving Europe. Like we're just normal people that wanted to see the world and live in another country. And so we did it, and you can do it too, type mindset.
You're my favorite kind of people. Yeah, I love it. It's so great though. And I know that I'm about to backtrack a little bit here, but the subject of what you guys did with your job is so huge that I just want to talk about that for a little bit more. You did mention that in the 4-hour work week, maybe about 40% of that is going to be related to this. And that's so true. Everybody that I recommend that book to, I just say, there's a lot you don't need in there. A lot. Yeah. And it's going to be super overwhelming and just skip those chapters. Yeah, seriously. And this is so funny because I was just having this conversation yesterday with one of my best friends about, you know, recommending this book specifically because there is an amazing almost step by step. It's been a long time since I've read it, but it's almost like a step by step. This is how you start approaching your boss and asking for an inch and asking for another inch and proving yourself and becoming that valuable employee that they don't want to let go. And then standing up on your little, you know, platform that you've built and saying, hey, this is my final step. I'm taking the plunge. You know, can we work this out, basically?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. You know, and it's 2015. I mean, we're not in your room right now interviewing with you. We are across the world on Skype. Yep. I mean, there's so many things and so many tools that came out so fast that, you know, a lot of companies are slow to realize that they don't need an employee to sit in their office, and their employee will probably perform a lot better if they're a lot more comfortable. And that's what I went to school for. So that was like my favorite thing to prove to them that, you know, I feel like I'm a lot more valuable to them away from the office, where I can have time to think, enjoy my life. And, you know, when it's time to work, I put in a lot more thought and a lot more time because I need to perform.
Right. And so, you get it done.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Everything that you have responsibility for gets done.
Right. Exactly.
And they can rest assured that you're going to do it because they already know that you're worth it and you've been there and you've put in your time. And I think that that could be so relatable to people if they knew that it was an option. I think a lot of people just don't realize that this is a possibility and that they should go for it if they could see that in their lives.
Right. And a lot of people too think that, you know, you know, you have to be super smart to do something like that. I'm honestly like a BC student, not really that great at all. I just pay attention in class and never did homework because I'm really doing when I left. I just paid attention. So, I mean, if I'm in class, let me listen to what I got to do and then I'll take the test and hope for the best. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think it's setting values for yourself. And, you know, I did a lot of work with another thing for planning is Franklin Covey has a course on how to really organize your day. They have, like, you know, those planners and stuff like that. You take a course on how to be certified to use their planners. And I did take that course.
Oh, wow. You are a nerd.
Yeah, I am a nerd. But I mean, if it's about how to, you know, plan your day and work effectively, it's, you know, I love things like that.
That's awesome.
It's really building values for yourself, and you could be, you know, an A student or a D student and still have values enough to work really hard when you need to remotely or in your job.
Well, obviously, you know what it is? It's passion. It's empowering you because you're choosing what you want to work hard at. And therefore there's a bit of almost pride in that, and you want to own that and you want to prove that you can do it.
Exactly.
Yeah, it makes you love the company even more. Like, it makes you want to work hard because they trust in you to do what you need to do across the world.
So what we should do is get all the companies to listen to this. Sure. And then all the employees can go approach their bosses. Oh, man.
This tonight, everyone quits their job.
We'll go viral.
I wish. That would be amazing if people just started, because, you know, some people won't. There's always going to be those people who stay home and kind of make the world go round, you know, and we're very appreciative of them. This isn't for everybody. So,
right.
Yeah, but, I mean, everyone is different. Everyone lives their life differently. It's just like us, how we chose to move to another country versus just travel and be nomads. I mean, we kind of wanted the in-between for our lives. And so everyone kind of, you know, does their own thing, and it's totally respectable.
Exactly. So moving on from the job thing, because that was totally a golden nugget. I feel like that was awesome. I love that that's the way you guys did it. That was such a fun surprise, I guess.
We're full of surprises.
Yes, I love it. So there were several other things that you guys obviously had to do. I know that you sold at least one car. And did you rent or own? What was your living situation like?
We rented an apartment. Okay. So it actually worked out well. Cause our landlord's, you know, we've lived in his apartments for 6 years. So he's really laid back and understanding.
Shout out to Bob Kinsler.
Nice.
But yeah, no, he was really helpful and just kind of let us give him a month's notice. And that was that.
Okay.
Yeah, we just got super lucky with a lot of our situations that, you know, I feel like, you know, some might feel not relatable because then you have to pay, you know, cancel it. But those are things you could, you know, add in when you are planning for your break even and things like that. We just got lucky in that situation. We've been renting from him for 5 years since we've been there. Mm-hmm. So we were lucky to have that. But yes, I had to sell my favorite car ever.
R2-D2.
Oh, no.
I know.
Your car was named R2-D2?
My license plate was R2-D2.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, I am a total Star Wars nerd, too. So, yeah. I know. This is why we get along.
Oh, man. Yeah, so I had to sell him, and it was really depressing. But yeah. It was good. You know, we live close enough in the D.C. metro area that there's a bus stop right down the right down the street.
Yeah, so we sold his car pretty early on because that was a big chunk of savings. And that's what we had to do, just find ways that we can save. Like, it seems unachievable, but if you find, like, one or two just big amounts that you can put away every month and make it kind of a life change to make it happen, that was really helpful for us. So selling his car, that gave us an extra $600 a month with all the insurance and the car payments and everything.
Aaron's insurance is pretty high.
My insurance was pretty high.
but you don't have that anymore, right?
So I just started taking the bus to work, you know, for a good 6 months. And then we sold my car actually just a few days before we left. And that's our emergency money put away somewhere just in case we need it.
Yeah, because it'll depreciate if we put it, you know, our goal is, you know, we're hoping for 2 years. It could be more, it could be less. Who knows what we end up doing? But, you know, at least we put a 2-year mark on it. So we figure car depreciation in 2 years is not, you know, it's going to lose value. So why not sell it now, put that money into like an escrow account where we're not touching it. And when we come back, use that money to buy a car again.
You are so smart. That's brilliant.
Yeah, so we have enough money that if we need
just
to
fail.
Yeah. No, you know what, though? That's important. And there are several reasons for that. I mean, you could get to Austria and decide you hate it. You could, things could happen and you just want to go home. And actually, I think it was like my 6th episode, I interviewed a guy who is just perpetually traveling. He's just long term. He was in New Zealand, I think, at the moment when I was talking to him. And he said one thing that he always keeps is a contingency budget for that trip home, for the flight home. And basically you're saying you have a contingency budget for your kind of like starting life back up when you get home again, you know, and that's smart because you're planning for the future and you're not just, a lot of people, like, I don't know if that's necessarily important for everyone, but if that's important to you, then do it, which is great that you had that in your priorities to, you know, think ahead and put that in place.
Yeah, so that was really important to us, just having like an escape plan so that we, if we move back and for some reason, like we are just went through all our savings, we've got nothing, we can live for 2 months, really, like getting a place to live, maybe getting a cheap car. I think that's really important because we don't want to, you know, move back and have to move with our parents when we're 30, you know, we want to have a way out kind of.
But there's nothing wrong with that. I'm just going to say.
No, absolutely.
Everyone ends up there at some point, I feel like.
Yeah, no, I'm still paying my college loans. It's definitely not fun.
But one of the things that I just touched on that I think is really apparent in what you guys are doing, one of my favorite things to talk about, period, over everything, is priorities. Because one of the things that you just said, mentioning the sale of your car, etc., and things that you had to do was make life changes. And that is huge, because what you're saying with that is this trip and this move and this adventure was such a huge priority for you that it came over owning a car and having that car payment and, you know, the other things that you may have had in place that you really changed that were big life changes, sacrifices for you guys in order to make this happen.
Yeah. And I mean, that's what's going to happen when you move here too. So it was good. I mean, we didn't have cable for about a year or something.
Yeah.
We just watched,
satellite TV.
Old, yeah, I think it was satellite. No, it was, yeah.
The bunny ears.
Yeah. Yeah. We had the bunny ears and we watched a lot of old game show reruns. And,
Netflix.
Yeah. It was really funny. But, you know, you realize that you don't really need those things. And it's cool to realize that you can cut out, you know, $80 a month and your life's still the same. Mm-hmm. And not only that, you have more time to do things and more time to see friends. Mm-hmm. And right now, you know, things that we're already adjusting to is just like we were saying before, the laundry. Like, we have our laundry drying in the sun right now on this weird laundry rack I've never seen before in my life. But people do that all over the world. Mm-hmm. I'm just so used to drying my clothes in the dryer that, you know, little things like that seem like they're not that big of a deal. But, you know, when you realize that that's what people do and you don't need to pay the electric for that or buy a dryer, like, that's mm-hmm. it's so fascinating to me. These little changes that are just so crazy. They don't ever turn their lights on. You know, windows are always open. There's no air conditioning. We're sitting in 90-degree weather and no air conditioning, and it's fine.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's comforts. In the U.S., we're used to certain comforts, and they are incredibly over the top. And we have anything in the world that we want to choose from, you know, and that's what you just get used to, getting rid of those things one by one. And you're stronger for it, right? You learn a lot in the process, and you find certain values that, or you find certain things that you value that maybe you didn't know about before, you know, like you were talking about cable. And that could be a hard thing for people who maybe say you're a sports fan or something, or you love Game of Thrones. But these days, like with...
Which we do.
Yeah. Okay. I just started binge watching it. What?
So that we just find a friend who has HBO.
Yeah, exactly. But these days, like with the options that we have, like subscribing to just one network online or something, you could cut your cable bill down by how much? Like tons of dollars, 60, 70 probably dollars a month, or even more.
80, and then we drop down to what we're 60, 60. 70 a month for just internet.
Yep. Yeah, we got rid of we had DirecTV. Like, we did like the intro thing where it was cheap for a year. And after that, we were like, yeah, we don't need this anymore. And we just kind of, you know, let it expire. And, but we loved baseball, like sports, you know, so we just got the baseball package instead, which you pay that over a certain amount of months, but it still is nothing compared to that cable TV every single month, you know. So, I mean, and to us, baseball was important. So, you know, what matters and what can you live without and how can you rearrange? And that's kind of what it's all about.
Exactly. And that's, as we were moving along in our preparations, a lot of the question that kept coming up for us was, like, a kind of would you rather. So, like, if any time we had, you know, an inkling to order something to eat or to do something, go out to a bar or club or whatever, it was kind of like, well, would we rather do that or would we rather save it and do something crazy when we're living in Europe? So, like, that kind of really helped us prioritize.
Yeah, and we love house music. So, you know, it was really good to say, you know, okay, do we want to see Above and Beyond here in D.C. where we've already seen him 5 times, or do we want to see him in Amsterdam and take the train there one day? Like, yes, how about that? We'll just save our money.
Yeah. I mean, one night out could be $100 with dinner and drinks or whatever it is. And that could also be, you know, bungee jumping and like Interlaken or something crazy, you know.
You don't realize that. You don't really pay attention to your daily transactions that closely. But we literally wrote down every single dollar that we spent, just to kind of see where we were at. And that's how we cut out a lot of stuff.
Yeah. And the more you drink, the more it's a great idea to buy everyone shots.
Yeah. So, just kind of escalates.
You know, that happens. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you're like, no, it's, it's a, no, he bought us shots, so we have to do it. Like, no, you that it's like your bill's like $200 in the morning. You're like, what happened?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I think so. Along with priorities, the other thing that I love to talk about is perspective. And that's what you guys are hitting on the head right now, is just change your perspective about things, you know. And actually, the fact that you guys wrote down a list is brilliant. And that's what I like to try. I have a podcast episode that's all about this, but in case anybody wants to a reminder, because it was very early. But I mean, basically, like, what I suggest that people do, and this is kind of what you did, it's write down your priorities. What's really important to you? Okay, you want to move to Austria. Cool. Put that at the top. Okay. What else is your priority? I mean, financially. Well, you have to make your car payments. You need to buy groceries. You have rent. You have all these things. But then you also have, okay, that occasional movie or shopping or even Netflix or dinner out or whatever it is. And make a list of all those things that you want in the order that you want. And then make another list of what you actually spend your money on and see where the discrepancies are.
Right. Yeah. And Mint is a great tool to use for things like that, too. I don't know if you know about it. I'm sure you do.
Mint.com.
Mint.com. I've heard of it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a great app where, you know, you can start logging what you're spending. You can set budgets for yourself, and then it'll show you when you're over budget on certain things. And, you know, it's cool. It's great. If you get to use your card a lot, here we've realized that not a lot of places take credit cards, so you have to use cash. So,
everywhere.
Yeah, everywhere. So, you know, what we're doing now is we've given ourselves a daily allowance, and anytime we have a surplus of that allowance, we get to save up for something. So if we you know, we just had to buy a new hard drive to store all of our video. We didn't think about that when we were doing budgeting. So now we know this week we're not spending any of our money for our allowance. We're using that money towards our hard drive. And so that just means we can't get like little snacks, or if we want to go take a break and get like a coffee or something like that, we can just go take a break. We don't need to go get a coffee.
Right. This is so smart though. You guys are so on top of the budgeting thing. I'm going to link to that mint.com app for reference as well. I don't want to take up too much of your time because I know you're in beautiful Austria and there's probably an amazing sunset going on and, you know, but I do want to ask one more thing. I know this has been chock full of amazing advice about, you know, how to take the steps to make it happen, to move overseas. But if there is one kind of overall piece of advice you would give someone considering moving overseas long term, what would it be?
I mean, I think it goes back to the confidence thing. Like, I think if you have to believe in yourself and you have to trust that you will accomplish what you set out to accomplish, if you don't believe in yourself, then you're not going to be successful. So I think that it's kind of an internal thing. It's one of the most important things when you're going to take the plunge and move abroad, because you're going to come across things that are unfamiliar. You're going to be frustrated. You're going to wonder what you're doing. Like, it's going to be a lot of ups and downs. But as long as you keep that confidence and believe in what you're doing is what you should be doing, I think that you're in a good place.
Yeah, and I think the easiest way to accomplish it is to put on blinders. So I think, let's say put on blinders, make your decision, put on blinders, and just keep walking until you hit it. And that's it. Because you have a lot of people that will question stuff, a lot of people that will, you know, you'll want to go out, you'll want to do a lot of things that you're comfortable doing. But put on the blinders and just keep walking towards your goal and you'll hit it. And once you do, you can take your blinders off and look around and you'll be in some ridiculous place.
I love the idea of that. That's great. All right. Awesome. Aaron, thank you so much. So we can find you guys at survivingeurope.com, correct?
That's right.
Yeah. And make sure you guys check them out on Instagram too. It's just fun. All right. Thank you guys so much for your time. Enjoy Austria. I'm so excited for you.
Thank you.
Wow. To be honest, that was one of my favorite interviews that I've had, because I love their mindset and their desire to share it with others and encourage other people to take the leap and travel just like they are doing. This is basically what my entire mission with the Budget Minded Traveler is about. So, extra special thanks to the Aarons for sharing all those great stories and tips that I am 100% positive are going to make a big impact on some of you guys out there and hopefully will move you to action with your own travel goals. As always, you can find the show notes for this episode at thebudgetmindedtraveler.com/52. And don't forget to check out survivingeurope.com and follow these guys on Instagram at survivingeurope and say hi to them because they are just awesome people. Thanks for tuning in today. Catch you next time.